today is the 18th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Wonderful to be here with you today. Another day. Another step forward. Another opportunity to be together here around the global campfire as a community with purpose to take the journey through the scriptures together. So grateful to be here with you today. Let's jump in. We are working our way through the book of 1 Kings at this point, and we have met this prophet Elijah, who has done some pretty miraculous things. A famine, he declared a famine. But then he had this big showdown with the prophets of Baal. This is all happening in the northern kingdom of Israel, who have been completely led into idolatry generationally. Right now the king is Ahab and his wife is Jezebel. But God has really turned the people's hearts back toward himself miraculously by sending fire from heaven upon a sacrifice that had been drenched with water on the top of Mount Carmel. All the prophets of Baal have been executed. So you'd think at this point, you know, Elijah understands he's got the power of God behind him. And then the rains come. And now you would think that Elijah really has a prominent voice in what's going to happen next. Well, let's see what happens next. 1 Kings chapter 19. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went out alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Acts 12, 1 through 23. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for a public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. He motioned for them to quiet down and told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers what happened," he said. and then he went to another place. At dawn, there was a great commotion among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. Herod Agrippa ordered a thorough search for him. When he couldn't be found, Herod interrogated the guards and sentenced them to death. Afterward, Herod left Judea to stay in Caesarea for a while. Now, Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule the day, his faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the night, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. He led Israel safely through. His faithful love endures forever. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. His faithful love endures forever. He killed powerful kings. His faithful love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites. His faithful love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan. His faithful love endures forever. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance. His faithful love endures forever. A special possession to his servant Israel. His faithful love endures forever. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Proverbs 17:14 and 15. starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, both are detestable to the Lord. Okay, so really important lesson today in 1 Kings, in the life of Elijah. So there's been this monumental confrontation between the priests of Baal and Elijah on Mount Carmel that ended up with God answering by fire and the prophets of Baal being executed, which brought the rains back to the land that had been completely drought-stricken. So people's hearts are now stirred to return to the one God that they have been in covenant with but have broken covenant. Right? Like the language of they have even kissed the face of Baal, like that is like they're cheating. That's cheating language. Like they have stepped out of covenant, out of relationship, and kissed another. So we can probably wrap our minds around that and then understand that that's how God feels about, like that's the agitation that we should understand. Not everybody repented. King Ahab is married to this Phoenician princess. Her name is Jezebel. She's a worshiper of Baal. She is enraged that her priests not only have been humiliated, but have been exterminated. And Baal has been humiliated. So, like, this is like a mighty move of God happening to stir the people back to himself by using the prophet Elijah as a mouthpiece and a centerpiece to what he is doing. You would think that Elijah, after all that, would feel pretty confident, if not powerful enough to know that God is with him. Jezebel finds out about what happened, and she sends a little message to Elijah. And this message is short, kind of like a text. So she sends him this little text: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow you're not dead, the same way you killed my prophets." That message completely intimidated Elijah. After all that God had just done through him, Elijah runs for his life. And he doesn't just like run and hide as he had been doing for 3 years during the famine. He didn't run a little way. First of all, he's in the northern kingdom of Israel. He runs all the way to the kingdom of Judah, all the way to the southern border of the kingdom of Judah, 115 miles on foot, all the way to Beersheba, all the way down on the edge of the desert. And then he journeys another 250 miles into the desert. We are not talking about a time where there's air conditioning. We are not talking about a time where there's automobiles. He goes all the way to the mountain of God. He goes all the way back to where, like, God appeared before the people and Moses was there and the covenant was begun. And he's going back to the origin of it all because he is confused and he is alone and he is isolated and he is scared. And so he's got to go back to the beginning of the story, and it's a long way. And he gets all the way there and he gets in a cave on the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And God says some really interesting words. "What are you doing here?" And Elijah replies that he's been faithful. He has served the Lord. He has trusted God. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant. They've torn down the altars. They've killed the prophets. He's the only one left, and they're trying to kill him too. So God invites Elijah to come stand before him. And there's this mighty windstorm ravaging the mountainside, but God is not in that wind. like a mighty display of power. You'd think God is in that, but God was not in that. And then the earth shakes with an earthquake. The mountain is shaking. Mighty, powerful outburst. But God is not in it. And then fire sweeps through the mountain. Mighty power. But God is not in it. And then there's a gentle whisper. And Elijah goes out to meet with God. And God tells him, go back the same way you came. They're like, his work was not finished. Kings needed to be appointed. His successor needed to be appointed. This is an ironic story that is so much a clear mirror into our own lives. Elijah had just presided over a great confrontation that included fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. He had also prayed for rain and received rain. Why would a nasty note, like why would that one nasty text take him out and put him on the run for his life? It's ironic because it's a mirror. We do the same thing. How many times have we felt the leading of God and even seen him at work, even mightily in our lives, only to find ourselves enraged or intimidated by a nasty note or a nasty social media post or a nasty text? And how often are we taken out completely by it and then find ourselves on the run because of it? Completely anxious, maybe completely depressed, maybe re-traumatized in some sort of way and triggered in some sort of way. And we run. We run and we hide. Only if we're listening to hear the voice of God, right? The Spirit of Truth saying, what are you doing here? Because where we are hiding is in the dark. And we are on the precipice of acting out and doing destructive, horrible things. And we might be saying, I am alone. The same way Elijah did. Because it's the same for us. This story has a way of being an incredible way of reading. Like we read the story, but it reads us back. We are in that story. We find ourselves in the same position. God's instructions were to go back the way he came because his work wasn't finished. I'm not saying that's all of our story, but I think I can say that our work is not finished and running and hiding because we are intimidated or triggered. Maybe we gotta go back the way we came because we're not done and God has not abandoned us. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into that in each of our contexts. I invite you into that in my context. Lord, Holy Spirit of Truth, come and lead us into all truth. And may we let go of the things that intimidate or trigger or taunt or bring anxiety or depression. May we let go of the things that we are running from and stand in your shadow. You are the Most High God, and you will not abandon us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. Essential pieces of the community here as we travel through the scriptures together. And so be sure to check them out as they bring the most comprehensive way that we can do this around the global campfire. And it will only grow from here, since we've moved into our new home. And I'm getting it very stable. So many ways, ways that we will continue to build the experience that we have dreamed of, to really, really allow a year in the Bible to become a very, very rich and comprehensive experience that we can follow our way through. So be sure to check out the app. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop while you're at it. A lot of new resources in the shop. Whether that be our Global Campfire t-shirts, or I'll Be Waiting For You Here Tomorrow t-shirts, or Love One Another t-shirts, or Act Justly t-shirts, some apparel, all kinds of new things, like our Global Campfire, brand new Global Campfire candles, which we love around here. They have a wood wick. They kind of, you know, crackle like a campfire. And we worked really hard on the scent with a perfumer a while back, so that we have our very own Global Campfire scent. It is very, like, very sandalwood based, very nice, but just the right amount of smoke, the right amount of charcoal, the right amount to give this little scent of campfire. And kind of, well, that's what we are, the Global Campfire, and we're sitting around it, and so lighting that candle brings us close. There's also Global Campfire room spray that we've created, just to kind of spray, that maybe you don't like the candles or whatever, but just a spray, and it's just a really, really beautiful aroma that we enjoy quite a bit around here. A lot, actually. Those things are in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, along with all kinds of other things, like, well, like the Promised Land coffee table book, to bring some of the places that are found in the scripture right into our home on our coffee table to just look at and enjoy. Or any of the written resources, like the God of Your Story, which is 365 days through the scriptures with the kind of things that we talk about every day as we're moving through. And if you're ever offline or just kind of want to go deeper into that, it's a fantastic resource for the journey going through the Bible in a year. There's so many other resources. So check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, man, humble gratitude. There is no way. There is no way we'd be here if we were not in this together. Thankfully, we are, and so thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Ivy from Missouri. It's been a while since I've called, but I just wanted to... first of all, Brian, I received my spiritual cards yesterday in the mail. I was surprised to get them so soon, but I guess God wanted me to have them. I read through every single one, and my heart was totally touched. I plan on bringing them to my brother's house this Wednesday, 17th. We were having our first Bible study together, my sister and I, and my brother and his wife. Since my mom has passed away on the 14th of March, today is 3/14, so it's exactly 3 months. I miss her dearly, but she's watching over us. I know she is. And I plan on bringing these cards with me Wednesday. Maybe we can use them, make a game out of them. I'm not sure. But thank you for these cards, because I think they're going to help us all out. I thank you, Brian, and your family and everyone else that has been praying for all of us. I pray for each one of you. I love each one of you, and I ask the Lord to guide you and to guide me. And I just still feel so alone, but I know God's with me. I know He is. And I thank you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Hi, y'all. I just wanted to say thank you, Brian, for putting the community prayers on early. So we have all Saturday to listen to it. As I'm listening to the community prayers, I am reminded that almost every single prayer request has to do with the body. The body. I'm asking God to show me what is the correlation between the sickness and life in the blood of the body. Oh, Father, I don't know, but I know that you are in control. I know that we all draw near to you. I even hear people like Shalom Shalom with her gift of compassion and empathy, just so lovingly praying for us. Father, these are not just words people come back and pray for others. These are really and truly prayers, believing to receive. And that's what I'm doing too right now, Lord, is I'm believing to receive. I pray for each and every person that has asked for a myriad of things, brain cancer, back issues, dementia. Oh, it's just gone. The list just goes on, and I know that y'all know. But Father, I'm asking that we take authority together in Jesus' name over every sickness and disease. And you give the...
Hello, Bob from Colorado. I'm calling in to pray for two gentlemen who were on a recent podcast and asking prayer for... One was a rash, a pretty serious rash all over his body, and taking medication, but it sounds serious. I've been there and understand it. It's just can be debilitating. And so help him find a job also. And whatever he needs, Lord, for healing, you know the true need there, and I pray for him. Pray for also this 82-year-old gentleman who called in for sciatica. It sounds like he's got a back injury. And very painful, so he doesn't know if he can handle it. But in your mercy, Father, just heal him and help him to increase his faith. We're not too young or old. We increase our faith, and we thank you that we are your children. Be with them both. I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, family. This is Robert P. from Tennessee, calling with an update and an urgent request for Joe, the van driver. He was diagnosed with leukemia, and now after this long journey of almost a year, he is on a ventilator in the hospital, as best I know. Please lift him up, family. His name is Joe, and he drives a van for our church, picking up the kids. He has two young boys at home that need him very much, as well as his wife. So please remember Joe, the van driver, in prayer that God will get him off the ventilator and heal his body. The second request, there's a little baby having heart surgeries named Elias. If you would just lift up little baby boy Elias, his mom and dad have him in Vanderbilt in Nashville undergoing heart surgeries, and the doctors can't seem to find out what's going on there. Thank you, family. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day.
Good morning. This is Channing from Illinois, and I have just listened to the DAB June 14th, and I would like to pray for Larry and Daniel, Daniel in Cincinnati. I was just reading in my Bible in Daniel, and I'd like to use his prayer in chapter 9 as a model. So, Heavenly Father, you are a great and awesome God who keeps your covenant, and you are faithful for those who love you. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord. You are a God of compassion. So, Lord, with respect to your righteousness and the righteousness you see in us through your Son, listen to our prayers. Listen to your servants and our prayers for your name's sake. Lord, let your face shine on Larry in Iowa. Let your face shine on Daniel Johnson in Cincinnati. Heal them, Lord. Heal them. I command their healing in Jesus' mighty name. I command it. For I am not presenting my prayer before you based on any merits of our own, but based on your great compassion and the righteousness of your Son. So, Lord, hear us, listen, and heal. In the name of your mighty Son and the righteousness that he has given us, in his mighty name, amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Catherine calling from Maryland. I am calling to offer up a couple of prayers for our brothers. The first one is for Daniel Johnson Jr. You are going through a terrible season. So sorry to hear that. The death of your mother and unemployment and now a skin condition, sounding like Job. But we lift you up in prayer. Daniel, I can only think that God's doing something in your life. And we don't know how it's going to end, but we know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So be encouraged, be comforted, and I ask God that you lift up Daniel, you shelter him under your wings, you touch him with your healing hands, Lord. I also want to lift up Byron out in Florida. And thank you for calling in for your team that's suffering from mental health challenges. We pray for them. We lift them up that our Father God will give them the power of love and a sound mind. And we also pray for guidance for you as to how you can do the right thing by your team. So thank you, everyone. Love you, DAB family. And thank you, Brian and Jill and the whole Hardin family.